We're going to continue. I'm going to start a new series tonight, not continue one. I'm going to love John Preminsky this weekend, Sunday. Wasn't that good? John is just a man after God's own heart, and I love serving him, and it was great to have him here with us, and he's just an inspiration and a real man of God. It was awesome. It was powerful. Let's pray. Father, tonight I ask that you would go way beyond what my words can produce, that the Spirit of the living God would just, on the inside, start to minister to each and every person in this place, that you would start to speak individually in ways that I cannot do. And we thank you, Lord God, that the Spirit of the living God is transforming us, changing us into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I wasn't sure. When I first got this message, I said, I'm just going to title it Trials. And then I thought, well, I don't know. Who wants to hear a message about trials? It sounds negative. But how many know life is full of trials? You ever notice that? Life, I mean, I really am convinced that life is just one trial after the other. And when we start to really resolve that in our minds, that life is, Jesus said in this world, you'll have what? Trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world. And so really, and I really believe that even the way we endured and through a trial or a test right now sets us up for the next trial or test. And if we do poorly in the trial we're going through right now, then we're not going to be able to advance, if you will, into other trials. We'll just keep getting stumped on that one trial. I really believe that it's essential for our spiritual growth. I believe that when we don't value the test or the trial, and when we're in a hurry to get through it, how many, when you're going through something, it just doesn't make sense. Aren't you just want to get done with it? But so many times we're in a hurry to get through it, and we may rush the process and make a decision that would just shorten things up, but I really don't think we're going to bear the fruit that God wants us to. Again, each trial is built, I believe, on the trial that's prior to it. When we embrace the plan of God and understand that what we say, what we think, and what we do as we go through trial affects each trial from there forward. And if you're not enjoying the trial that you're in right now, rejoice, all right? Let God help you change your attitude, handle it properly, and then move into the success that God has for you. Most of us are very familiar with the passage of scriptures, but I really want to lay this down as our foundational scripture for this series, James 1, and we're going to read a few verses, starting with 2 through 4. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. Say joy. That wasn't very convincing. Say joy.
Joy.
And you smile when you say it, right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So testing produces something, all right? So really, it helps us just to know, look, whatever I'm going through is producing something in me. And that'll just help us have a better attitude right off the bat. But he says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect. How many want to be perfect? You already are in Jesus, but how many want to have a life that's perfect? All right, come on. He says, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it's through trials and tests that God works patience in our lives as we're going through it and we become complete, lacking nothing. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When we go through trials and tests, the Lord has a crown for us. I believe that it directly affects our life now, but there's also a crown to come. And so really, trials and tests help us help God, I should say, to produce fruit in our lives. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, that whatever you ask will be done for you. So it's really about abiding in Jesus, verse 16. And I love this here. He says this. So when you're going through trials, he says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Now you may think, well, why does he say that when he's talking about trials? This is what I believe. I believe he's saying, look, don't be deceived. God is good. Every good gift comes from him. There's no shadow. There's no turning. God does not change, because when we go through a test, how many ever felt tempted to just think, you know, God isn't out on my side. God doesn't love me anymore. This is never going to work. You ever feel that way? So he's telling us, don't be deceived. God is good. Say, God is good. He doesn't change, all right? Understand, God has nothing but good things for you and I. And so whatever the test or the trial is that we're going through, we need to look up, rejoice, and say, Lord, I know that this thing I'm going through is producing patience in me, and patience is going to have her good work. This passage of Scripture would be great just to meditate on. We're going to be talking about meditating on Scripture tonight, because that's really how we get this into our spirit, and really it starts to produce fruit. And so really it'd be good just to look at those scriptures. And so whatever you're going through, say, Lord, I know you're producing in me patience because it's your desire, because you're good and you never change. It's your desire to make me complete and that I lack nothing. So even if you're going through something that looks like lack is going to be there, you have God's word just not only here but many places that you will not be lacking, that God wants nothing but to make you perfect and to make you complete so that you'll have every good thing. Doesn't that sound like good news? And you see this time and time again through Scripture. Verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so as we're going through tests, we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The Bible says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We are righteous through one, Christ Jesus. Amen. And so this is really about God producing a fruit in our lives and bearing fruit in our lives. And really, it's like this. The thoughts that we have affect the words that we speak. When we speak God's words, we're meditating on God's word. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. We meditate on God's word, so my thoughts are directed. Then when my thoughts are directed, I start to speak the word. When I speak the word, it starts to develop or build my character. I start to become and think like what Jesus has already purchased for me. Are you tracking with me? Does that make sense? See, Jesus already gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But listen, it's a process of us using our faith to reach that perfect place. And so what I'm doing is I'm meditating on God's word. I'm speaking God's word. He's developing character on the inside of me. And that character now starts to produce actions in my life. When we start to believe the right things, we start to live in a different way. See, we're not just trying to do works for work's sake. We're just surrendering our thought life and the words we speak to the word of God. And then our character starts to change. Our actions start to change. And that is what produces the life results in our lives. Does that make sense to you? And so that's why it's so important for us to learn how to put to death our old nature, if you will, as we're going through tests, and to start to speak God's truth when we go through these trials in life. When I think the thoughts of God towards me and I speak them, it starts changing my actions, shaping my character, producing life results that God has for me. I start to think, talk, and act more like God. His word or spirit, and we'll look at that tonight, his word and spirit are one, bring forth fruit in my life. When I abide in him, I bear fruit. Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, my brethren, how many feel like they're kind of in a finally moment? It's like, I need a finally word tonight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, we're going to talk about that word in a minute, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate just means to think over and over and over. It's kind of, when you look at the word, the idea is, it's like a cow chewing its cud. Chew it again. We're just digesting it over and over and over. And some people say, well, I don't know if I can meditate. Okay, how many know how to worry? Anybody ever worry? Come on, that's would you lift your hands up? You can't lie in church. If you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. Because worrying, we are worrying about things that probably won't happen, right? That's what meditation is. But we're directing our meditation on the word of God. I said I want to talk about that word noble. It says to think of things that are noble. Webster's dictionary says noble means having, showing, or coming from personal qualities that people admire, such as honesty, generosity, courage, relating to or belonging to the highest social class. I love this. Of relating to or belonging to nobility. Do you know that in Christ Jesus, we are the noblest of all nobility? That we are in the kingdom of heaven? And so you and I should start to think as if God has already given us all the things that we need because he has. We are in the kingdom. We are princes. We are princesses. We are kings. We are queens in the kingdom of heaven. And so expecting God to really just meet every area of lack in our lives. This is not just finances. This is every area so that you and I mean, you think about it. Jesus never had any lack. Anywhere he went, didn't matter. He even said he didn't have a place to lay his head. But how many know Jesus stayed somewhere and he would go and he was an itinerant preacher. But Jesus one time went and he took money out of a fish. Think about that for a minute. I mean, no, you don't have problems when you get money out of a fish. That's true. But thinking on things that are noble, thinking on things that are just, thinking on things that are pure, thinking on things that are lovely. In the Message Bible, it says it this way. Message Bible says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. I mean, no, we're always thinking the worst, but the Bible's telling us to think on the best things, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God will make us everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that awesome? God will work us into his most excellent harmony so that our lives flow with the kingdom of heaven. Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, observing to do all that is written in it. Then your way will be made prosperous, and you'll have good success. So meditating on scriptures, and we talk about this probably quite a bit, but I'm going to tell you, it is the key. It's like Jamie said in her word, if you don't have a word from God, come down. And God can give you a spoken word when someone prays over you. But you know we have the Bible. And Christians, most Christians, not here, not the group we got tonight, but most Christians never open their Bibles. You get a word from God that you can believe God for. And that's what we should be doing, meditating on God's word. Psalm 40, verse 5. This is a good one if you're taking notes. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know, God has nothing. Remember, we read it in James, that there's no variance, there's no shadow, there's no turning. God is good. Say, God is good. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In the New Living Translation, it says, a word spoken or the right thing at the right time. The right thing at the right time. All right, we talked about how Mike got his healing tonight. You know, when we got that report, people just started to pray all over this church. He'd pray every time he came to church. People say, well, don't you just pray once and that's it? Listen, you pray until you get your breakthrough. You just keep praying. Jesus talking about prayer, he said, you should be like the woman who came and drove an unrighteous judge crazy. How many know the story? He says she just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And the Bible says that the judge did not grant her request because he was righteous, but because of her constant coming. And Jesus was using that as an analogy of prayer. We just keep praying. But we prayed by his stripes. Mike was healed. Jesus took care of his healing. You know, if we have a lack, you say, well, here's what it says, Psalm 34, verse 10. It says, the young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait upon the Lord shall lack no good thing. Philippians chapter 4, it says that God really is meeting our needs according to what? His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. All right? We produce joy by our words. Matter of fact, let me read this to you a minute. Well, let's hold off on that for just a minute. Let me read this first. Isaiah 50, verse 4, speaking of Messiah, Jesus, it says, it's a prophecy. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Listen, this is the relationship that God wants, desires, and has put everything in place for you and I to have with him. This is the kind of relationship he wants with us. And some people may say, well, that's written for Jesus. Well, let me silence that thought a minute. Yeah, it's written to Jesus, but here's what Jesus said. I don't think we had this in our notes, but if you want to put it up, New King James Version, John 17:8. New King James Version, John 17:8. Jesus said, for I have given to them the words. This is Jesus praying for us believers. I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and I have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. See, Jesus is really saying, look, I am giving all of my authority to all of those who would believe on my name and believe by the testimony that other people speak. If you read all through that, we don't have time to read John 17, but Jesus is praying on the last night that he was here, and he is really transferring all of his authority that God gave him to you and I. So the word of God, we could say, look, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. He wakens me morning by morning. He speaks to me in the night hours. You know, maybe you're going through something, and maybe God's spoken. There's an area in your life that you've kind of raised up an idol that's taking my place. Well, just real quick, we just say, Lord, I'll get rid of it. It's against you that I've sinned. Just cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And just start to speak to him and allow him to do work on the inside of us. See, if you and I never allow life in the Spirit to put to death the old nature, it's not enough to just say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. It's by living in the Spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so it's the Spirit that puts to death the works of the flesh. It's not something we're doing. We're focusing on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're looking to heaven, where we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and allowing the Spirit to put to death our old nature. So if we never allow the Spirit of God to put to death our old nature, and that comes by meditating on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, looking to heaven where our help comes from, how I think, speak, and act really is our old nature, I will not pass through the trial successfully. If I don't learn how by the Spirit to put to death the old nature, I'm not going to go through a trial successfully. And so what we do is we're people that are immature, we're carnal, we're selfish, we're closed, we're argumentative, we're proud, we're easily offended, and hard-hearted. Those are signs that we're not allowing God. How many have ever felt, I'm going to read that again. How many ever feel spiritually immature? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just raise my hand for all of us. Carnal, you ever feel carnal? You ever feel selfish? Oh, I hate that one. You ever just allow yourself to look at yourself through God's eyes and you know, in your flesh and realize how selfish we can be? Proud, argumentative, easily offended, hard-hearted. If we're living like that, and if that's a description of our overflow, guess what? The Spirit of God is not what we've been digesting. We haven't allowed the Word of God to start to transform us. See, the fire of the trial is the very thing, I believe, that tests our faith and brings our faith to perfection. See, He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit of fire, which purifies, cleanses us, and refines us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so see, it's the genuineness of our faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. That He's already finished what He said He would do. That He's working in me to will and do His good pleasure, giving me the desire and the power to do the things that please Him. Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's spiritual maturity. God changing my heart and directing my life. And so it's by walking in the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the body. So when we're going through a test, remember we're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Are you with me? And so that's what we're talking about. Is if we're carnal in a situation, it's time to step back and say, okay, Lord, I need to meditate in Your Word and see what it is You've done for me that really that speaks to this trial or this test that I'm going through. And those are the things I start to meditate. And meditating is just thinking about it and 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 reading it and meditating and thinking about it, writing down what God speaks to you around that scripture. Jesus said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so it's the Word of God that brings life into our life. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will what? Eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen, you are going to eat your words anyway. You are. You and I, you know, the things that we speak into existence are the things that we end up having. I mean, think about it. Man, we never have any money. We're always broke. We're dirt poor. I'm poorer than dirt poor. And you are. I wonder why. Winter comes around. Thank God we just got through that. Amen, right? Winter comes around. I always get sick. When winter comes, I always get a cold. When spring comes, I always get allergies. Now, that may be true that there's some allergies. But listen, don't be speaking it. Start speaking God's word that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. The Bible says that everything we eat, if we give thanks for it, it's okay to eat it. Now, you can't take that and be stupid. I mean, I know I've seen people try to bless the calories out of a donut or out of a donut or 12. Okay. But you know, pray over your food. I mean, a lot of Christians don't even pray over their food. And I don't mean just, thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're, you know, forks are in our mouth. I mean, you think about it. I'm going to challenge you. Just to pray before you eat, just to take time to sit back and just really take a time of prayer. I mean, a thought. Say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can eat this meal right now. Thank you that you provide for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're making us generous so that we can share with others. And start to pray like that and start to think about what we're praying. And that's just food. That's just one area. Are you with me? And this is how we start to produce, the Spirit of God, rather, starts to produce things in our lives. It's really Him working in us. And it comes out of our heart. So what's happening is we're transforming our hearts by the Word of God. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance. I like the way we didn't have... that's the New King James. I'll read it that way. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Revised Standard Version, we didn't have it, so we couldn't put it up there. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance. I like that. You got to fight to keep your heart right. You and I have got to fight to keep our hearts right. Everything in this world is trying to really just infect our hearts. The things that people say, the things that people do, the way we felt rejected, just time after time after time, the things that we go through are all just, they're invading that space. And you know, it's only the Word of God that can really start to do heart surgery, if you will, on the inside. It's the Word of God that starts to get in. Matter of fact, he says that what he'll do with us is he'll speak to us. The prophecy is that he'll speak to us by his Spirit and give us a new heart. You see, there's a couple of prophecies in the Old Testament about one of the things that Messiah would bring was that he would bring the Spirit of God and he would speak to his people with a heart of flesh and replace their heart of stone with a heart of flesh. You see a couple of prophecies to that effect. But keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the issues of life. Thinking and speaking the right things during the trial that I'm facing are directly related to keeping our hearts pure. So whatever trial, whatever opportunity for improvement, we'll just call it that. Say opportunity for improvement. That's a good way to think about it. Whatever it is we're going through, you and I should be keeping our hearts by speaking, thinking the right things as we're going through that. And that's going to keep our heart pure rather than allowing that thing to get inside and infect us. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so as you see, as we get through some of these scriptures tonight, it's not just a matter of reciting scripture. And we should... It's good to memorize Scripture. I think it's great to memorize Scripture. But what's better is to know Scripture, and you may need a concordance to find the exact location, all right? I mean, it's good if you can memorize the location, too. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand, Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you read my word every day, and it speaks of me that you don't know me. And the religious Jewish people of Jesus' time, I'll tell you what, they could lay down scripture memorization with the best of them, yet they didn't recognize Jesus. And so it's more than just memorizing scripture. Certainly meditating on scripture, a part of it is memorization, but what we're doing is we're allowing it to transform by our heart, and then it starts to transform our thoughts, and then we start to speak the word of God. And you know that they say that the things that you speak, that you'll remember them better? Most people, the things that we speak out. I mean, it's one thing to read something and think about it, but when we speak it out, it's almost like we're speaking it and we're remembering it again. It's like it just continues. And so speaking out scripture is extremely, extremely important. Here's what Jesus said, Mark 11:22. Most of us probably know this. I want to read out of the Amplified Version tonight. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. I like that. How many know, you know, sometimes we pray like that, the man who had the son, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How many ever think that way? But here it says, don't you? Amen. See, it is. It's like that. But he says, have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and doesn't doubt at all in his where? Where? In his heart. But believes what he says. See, the heart is where it comes from. It believes what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. And so trusting that God's word is true, that it's been given to us, as we read in John chapter 17, Jesus really transferred his authority to all who would believe on his name. And so now the words that we speak, they are spirit and life. John 6:63, we just read that tonight. And so what we're doing is we're speaking the word of God and believing constantly that what we're speaking and meditating on are going to come to pass. And what it starts to do is it starts to change that situation. But in the meantime, it's changing us on the inside. What we speak is so important. I believe that God's word spoken from a changed heart is what releases the kingdom of heaven into life, or into our lives, rather. Luke 17:20. For the kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen. No one will say, look, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Within you. I just read out today's English version. But see, so he's saying, look, it's not over here, it's not over there. The kingdom of heaven is something on the inside. And really, that comes through meditating on God's word and speaking God's word. It's one thing to say, I believe Jesus, I love Jesus, I trust Jesus. But if we don't know why we believe what we believe, it's the word of God that produces a harvest in our lives. You can see it time and again. We talked about this in, I think, our Sunday series. We're teaching on spiritual warfare, and we're going to continue that again Sunday. But when we started that series out, we were talking and looking at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. How many know that story? And Jesus answered in that temptation, that trial, with the word of God. And that's how important it is. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Listen, in our heart, it says in Jeremiah that our hearts are desperately wicked. So we need a heart transplant. How many know what I'm talking about? Really, we do. And it's the word of God that starts to transform us. The word of God changes our hearts. It renews our minds. Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3, you know it. When the heart is changed, that's meditation. What's in your heart is what you truly believe. That's the words that I start to speak. So what happens is, when I'm meditating on God's word, I start to speak it and meditate on it. I start to speak it and meditate on it. I start to speak it and meditate on it. What's happening is my heart is being transformed. My mind is being renewed. And as I'm going through this trial, God is starting to produce patience in me, and then patience will have her perfect work, and the perfect work of patience will produce everything that God wants to do in my life so that I'll be complete, lacking what? Nothing. All right? And so whatever trial we're going through, whatever challenge, you and I have got to look at God's word, be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and then start to meditate on God's word. And listen, if you blow it, you blow it. I mean, no, Jesus took care of that. We're not talking about being perfect here in our works. But I'm talking about starting to bear fruit and starting to have more of the character of God in our lives. This is the only way you get it. It's the only way that you get it, is by the word of God, which transforms us. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what keep means? It means to guard or to keep your eye on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. As a matter of fact, in the Message Bible, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence. That's how it says it in the Message Bible. With all your passion, with all your prayer, with all your intelligence. And so really, the way we live successful lives in Christ is to be so in love with Jesus and his word that whatever trial we're going through, we're not even concerned with that. We know that God is working perfection on the inside of us and that we're going to come out on the other end with everything that we need. It's just like the example that I gave early on. Jesus and Peter are at the temple. They don't have money for the temple tax. Jesus says, go down, and the first fish that you get, there'll be money in it. Think about it. Jesus does some of the coolest stuff. I mean, he's the one, remember, he just walks on water. Doesn't matter. Just taking a stroll in the middle of the storm, sleeping on a pillow. Come on, somebody. Say, well, they need money for the temple tax, Peter says. Jesus says, go on, first fish that you get, there'll be money there. I mean, really, you think about that. You think about that. And Jesus was the Word. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John chapter 1, John's Gospel. All right? So the word is, the word. Say the word,
word.
Works. Say the word works. Mark 7, 6, Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" There, it's like I said before, it's more than just memorizing, because Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees when he said this. Look, you say the word, but your heart is far from me. Your heart is far from me. I mean, it's not, how many ever had somebody say, "Oh, we just love you. We love you so much." And then you talk to somebody else and you say, they said, "What? Come here. Come on." Because their heart is not right. They may want to love you and think they love you, but because perhaps they're not practicing this or they've never heard it, they may say, I love you, and they do love you, but then they go and they talk to somebody else and it's like, that don't sound like love. How many know what I'm talking about? And hopefully you ain't doing that. All right? That's called gossip and that's just junk. You don't need that. But so many times, that's what people do, and they say, "Well, you know, just bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me," and it's just up here. They just memorize that. Really, the key to whether or not your heart is changing is the way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And Jesus said, love your brother as yourself, he goes on and says, okay? So when we love the Lord our God with all our passion, with all our prayer, with all our intelligence, and love our brother as ourselves, we start to produce fruit in our lives. So much of the time, so many times, people, we want to love God. We want to see things work out. We even read his word, but we haven't really tasted and seen how good the Lord is. And if we did maybe at one time, maybe we lost that through a series of events, because remember, your hearts can get hard. Remember, we said that. But because we don't live this way, now we just are kind of just reciting things, but our heart is damaged and we don't even love ourselves. You know how many people don't love themselves? You know how many people, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, we cannot love any more than the way that we love ourselves. And you say, "Well, but I love God." Well, the Bible says, how can you say you love God who you don't see when you don't love your brother who you do see? It all pans out. And so really, it's about love. Love is really the power of God. Boy, I'm just sidetracking here, but somebody need to hear that, you know? It's the love of God. It's realizing the love of God, realizing that God is not holding my sins against me. No matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times, even maybe I went through a trial and I said, and I said something I shouldn't say. I won't say it because this is being recorded. Don't get all beat up on yourself. Just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I know that this trial came for my good," and just get back in line. But here's the thing, if we're facing a trial and we don't do it this way, and we blow it and we beat ourselves up, what happens then is our heart starts to get hard towards ourselves, towards God, and everything. And how many know what I'm talking about? Here's the thing. When you blow it, you blew it. That's it. Get done with it. You're just finished. Get back on track. Jesus paid for that mistake. How many love that? I mean, this is the greatest news in the world. But if we want to bear fruit, we need to continue to guard our hearts, put the Word of God in it so that the Word of God in us starts to transform us. We're thinking different things. We're speaking the Word of God as we go through that trial. Even though I blew it one time or two times or 5,000 times, we get back on track. But the biggest thing is guard your heart. In fact, I don't know if I got to that. We need to get to that. It's in my, where am I at? We got time. Look at what he says here. Hebrews 4. I'm going to read this. You don't have to put it up because I don't think you have today's English version. I want to read this. It's kind of an obscure version, but I love how it puts it. So I'll just read it. Just listen. Hebrews 4:12. "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and the thoughts of a man's heart." It judges the desires and the thoughts of the man's heart. In Philippians, it says that he's giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please him. It tells us in Psalms, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us what? The desires of our heart. And so it's the word of God that starts to kind of dissect and start to show us if our desires are godly or not. We've got a series that we're going to start in a couple of weeks. I just started praying about this today. I'm just going to title it Idol. There's things in our life that we just put in the place of God and it messes us up. But you know, the word of God will start to get in and start to divide the bone from the marrow, the joints from the marrow, all those things. Then he says in Luke 6, Jesus said, For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. I'm not talking about personality traits. I'm talking about fruit. We all have personality traits. And there's some things God wants to refine and work on. I'm talking about fruit in your life. All right? It says, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The good man is really the spirit man. Say spirit man. Okay, and the evil man, say carnal man. Or natural man, however you want to look at it. Out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So the question is, am I more full of the spirit or more full of my carnal, natural nature? And again, it's the word that's, he said, matter of fact, in Matthew 12, 33, it's the same, it's Matthew's account of this same teaching. He says this, he says, make the tree good and the fruit good. And the only way you can make the tree good is by the word of God just working on the inside of you and looking to Jesus and walking in love and walking in forgiveness and allowing yourselves to fall in love with Jesus for the first time day after day after day after day. Remember Jesus said to the church of Revelation, the Laodiceans, he said, you have lost your what? First love. Fall in love with, do you remember when you fell in love with Jesus? Do you remember how you couldn't get enough of his word? Do you remember how you just, you'd skip meals just to be with him? But you know, sometimes we lose that. And our hearts will become hard. And the fruit produced through the trial is determined by the heart and the things that flow out of it. Again, thoughts, words, character, actions bring life results. We've talked about thoughts. We've talked about words tonight. James 3, 2, he says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is what? A perfect man. A perfect man. And so Jesus is telling us to keep our hearts with all diligence or all vigilance, guarding our hearts, because the heart of a man produces the words that we speak. And if we don't stumble in word, then that's a perfect man. Taming the tongue, and the Bible tells us, and we'll get more into this next week, we're going through these trials that James is telling us about. We're becoming perfect, complete, lacking nothing. What I think on determines the words that I speak. I just want to leave you with these four thoughts. What I think on determines the words I speak. That's how we bear fruit, is speaking. Remember John 15, you can read it on your own. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, or my words abide in you, whatever you say will be done for you. Okay, that's the whole thought process. So what I think on determines the words I speak. The words I speak start to build my character. My character affects my actions. You start to live differently. When you start to meditate on the Word of God, when you and I start to meditate on the Word of God, looking to Jesus, falling in love with Him, just spending time with Him, we start to act different. I heard somebody put it this way, and it made so much sense. 24 years now that I've been a Christian, and I'm going to tell you right now, I get drunk as much as I want to. I get high as much as I want to. I have as much adulterous affairs as I want to.
What?
I do. Absolutely. I do as much as I want. But you know what? I don't want to do it. Are you with me?
Zero.
Are you with me? Now, if you've had a problem with that, God still loves you. Jesus forgave you. But the thing is, as you fall more in love with Him, it's that Jesus-sized hole that you're just trying to fill with something. Does that make sense? My character affects my actions. My actions produce my life results. I didn't try. I didn't become a Christian and start to say, well, I just need to do this and need to do that. Now I got a little bit of that, and the Lord kicked my butt in that and got me on track. And there's still times that He'll set me free of that stuff. But listen, I didn't make a conscious decision that my life, He set me free of drug abuse. He set me free of alcoholism. He set me free of all these things in my mind that I was running after and polluted myself with, the way I hated myself, the way I had a terrible attitude on life. How many understand what I'm talking about? And He has that for you and I, and it's not something that has to stop. It's something that can continue, but the only way it can continue is for us to keep our hearts right, and the only way we can keep our hearts right is to keep focused on Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He's perfect. Oh, I could just go on and on, but I can't. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God, and Lord, we pray for children.